In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking today with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd. What's your topic today, Val?
I'd like to talk about this struggle for holiness that we have as Christians. And I want to say one thing that I think the Lord is helping me to understand, and that is that perfection comes from believing in Christ. There's a verse in Hebrews. Let me read it. Hebrews 10, 9 and 10. It says this. Jesus said, "Behold, I have come to do thy will." He takes away the first, he's talking about the Old Testament laws, in order to establish the second. "By this will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Throughout the Old Testament, the Israelites were continually grieving and angering God by their disbelief or unbelief of his word. Then he sent Jesus to be their redeemer. And Jesus spoke to the scribes and Pharisees and said, "You're not believing in whom God has sent." And he said to the disciples, "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." He also said, "You must become like a little child." So I'm beginning to understand that God sees me as perfect because I have the robe of the righteousness of Christ on me. My sins are wiped away as far as the east is from the west. But my struggle throughout much of my Christian life was I need to see myself perfect in all that I'm doing, in my own works. I need to see that I'm checking off this. I'm doing this right. I'm doing this right. I'm doing this right. And because Hebrews says, "Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord," I kept thinking, well, because I can't do this right, because I can't do this right, I won't ever really get close to the Lord. I may be on the very outer edge of heaven, but I won't ever really come to know him deeply because I'm not getting all these things right. So I'm beginning to understand that he makes me perfect by my believing in what he sent for me for my salvation. In this verse I just read in Hebrews, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. And sanctified means to be made holy. I want to be made holy. Once I believe that Jesus did everything on the cross necessary for me to be made holy and for my salvation, then of course my response is that I want to aim at perfection. He said also, "Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." So my response should be, yes, Lord, I'm going to strive for obedience in every area of my life. But the resting, peaceful truth that makes me confident and happy and secure every day is that he is making me perfect as I believe in what Christ has done for me. Does that make sense?
Yes, and I'm very glad you made that distinction between Christ's work and our work. I think one of the failings of many Christians is the notion that once they've received the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, they're saved, sanctified, set apart. They don't have to do another thing. They've got a free ticket to heaven.
Right. Uh-huh.
And Jesus makes it crystal clear, if you love me, do what I say. And it says in Hebrews 5:9 that salvation is for all who obey him. So you've put it very well, that our response, if the truth of our hearts is to want to be sanctified, then of course we will want to please our Savior. Just as when you and I got married, we loved this man, and it's because we love the man, therefore we want to do everything we possibly can for him. This is the natural response of love. Christ loved us, and we in our turn are to lay down our lives for each other. It's a point of a lot of argument, isn't it, that comes up about, well, but we're supposed to be perfect, and we can't be perfect, and psychologists are telling us that perfectionism is a very dangerous thing, you know, and so that makes me think, well, I must really be way off somewhere because I have always aimed at perfection. And I want to ask any housewife, if you make a birthday cake for somebody, what kind of a birthday cake do you want it to turn out to be? Kind of lopsided with the frosting all running down all over the plate? Of course you aim at perfection. If you want to do anything well, you're going to aim at perfection.
And I think where we go wrong is when we're aiming at perfection in our own strength. And that's what brings frustration, discouragement, despair, because we really can't do anything good without the Holy Spirit empowering us. You know, it says in Ephesians that we were created in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world to do His good works. If we were created before the foundation of the world in order to do His good works, then it only follows that once He has given us faith, He has opened our hearts and our minds to believe in the truth about His salvation on the cross. Once we have become new creatures, He has given us His Holy Spirit to do those good works. But where we get this mixed up is when we're striving in our flesh to be perfect. And I know for many years I had this list of godly things that I wanted. But I loved those godly things, I think, more than I loved God, and so they became idols to me. I loved wanting to see myself as a wonderful mother. I loved seeing my children when they were obedient and saying, well, it's because of the hard work that I have done. And we get this confused in our minds of what I have done and what God has done for me. God wants to permeate every single thing that we do. And it's by His Holy Spirit that we are to be able to do those eternal works that are going to last.
The Apostle Paul says, he's writing to the churches and talking about the various things that he hopes to see in them as they are becoming sanctified. And he says, this is what I am working at with all the strength God gives me. So it is a fine line, Val. I think probably you would draw the line in a slightly different place than I would, but I agree that our sanctification comes only through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. But when we receive that by faith, we are then in the process of transformation. If any man is in Christ, he becomes a new creature or a new act of creation. Old things are passed away. So the desires that I had before are gone. Now everything has become new, and one of the new things that ought to be evident in a new Christian is just what you're talking about, this desire to please the Lord. So we aim always to please the Lord, and when I sit down to write a book, or when I go downstairs to peel an onion for soup, these are simple tasks, which obviously I do in my human strength, but I want to offer them to God.
I think of the verse in Revelation where Jesus is rebuking the church because they have lost their first love, and you see many new Christians who are so eager and so hungry to grow and to change and to get rid of their sins from their past. But I think as our love becomes lukewarm, which it can, doesn't always happen, but it can happen as we, because of our sinfulness, because of our pride, we go our own way, even as Christians. And God has to be continually drawing us back to Himself and saying, it's my work through you. It's my power. It's my grace that's going to help you to become sanctified and holy. But I want to bring up something that we learned. My husband and I studied the book of Galatians through a course called Sonship, written by a Presbyterian pastor named Jack Miller, who's now gone on to be with the Lord. We learned something that Luther wrote about righteousness, and he called it active righteousness. He said there are two kinds of righteousness that we have as Christians, active righteousness and passive righteousness. And to put it as simply as I can, passive righteousness is knowing that Christ's righteousness has been put upon us, has been imputed to us. We receive what God has done for us through Christ. It was through Christ's perfect obedience that we are made perfect. Active righteousness, of course, is the response to what Christ has done. And we want to live for him, and he's making our hearts new all the time. Don't you believe that we have to every day say, "Renew my heart, Lord, that it may be wholly yours, single-mindedly devoted to you"?
Yes.
So where we go wrong is when we step away from the understanding that he has made me perfect by his work. And so our own works become more and more important to us. And I know as I started out as a new wife and a new mother, I thought because I'd had a wonderful background and a wonderful childhood, wonderful mother, wonderful heritage, everything Christian, I thought it's going to be easy for me to be a mother and a wife and a mother of many children. It's going to be a piece of cake. Well, I started facing my own sin and the sin of my children and the sin of my husband, and I began to think, how in the world am I going to be the godly mother that I want to be? So passive righteousness versus active righteousness, Luther wrote about in explaining Galatians, because Paul was challenging the Galatians, or he was questioning, how did you start out becoming a Christian? Did you start out by your own works? Is that how you became a Christian? Or did you start out by the Holy Spirit opening up your understanding so that you believed in the work of Christ? And so now don't go back foolishly, he says, you foolish Galatians, don't go back to the old way of thinking that if you do this and this and this, then you will be made righteous.
And let's not forget Jesus' words, without me, you can do
nothing.
Nothing.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.